Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you Meretz HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Yud Beit, but we are holding back on the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beit, and we have the special introduction. Lovely. Yavam Katan. So let's say we have two kids, and both of them are kitanim. So the husband that died was married to this kitana, and the brother that is alive is a katan, and he goes ahead. Now, when we say katan, remember, he's over 9 years old. So he's only a katan in terms of the mitzvah, but he's fully capable of a sexual relationship with her. Yigdalu zeimza. So fine. Stick together. The family that sticks together ultimately does yibum together, and fine. So there's certainly no problem in this case, at least so it would assume that there's no problem. He certainly doesn't have much of a choice, does he? Because the get of a katan is not a kosher get, but the yavam was kena the yavama, even though he's a katan, because a kadosh baruch hu kavayochu gave it to him. So therefore, they have to stick together. And not to mention the fact that you can't really give a get to a katana. She's not considered to be shomeret or get. Now, suppose he was, in this case, but al yevama gedola. Suppose in a different case, the katan takes the gedola. So then what happens? She has no way out from him. So tigadlano, she better raise him and get him used to being a husband, because there's no way she can leave. He can't give chalitza, because he doesn't have das, and he can't give her a get, so what's she supposed to do? So anyway, they're sort of stuck together till he grows up. Now, hayavamasha amra betok shloshim yom. It's now within 30 days of the time that the yavam took her, and she says, listen, this guy ain't doing nothing. I mean, I can't get him to sleep with me. And he was never Mekayim the mitzvah. So I need chalitza. I want to get married. So it's talking about, we're going to see, the Gemara is going to explain right away that it's talking about that she is carrying a get. And that's why he gave her a get. And that's why she is saying, oh, it's all very nice. He gave me a get. I can't marry anybody because I'm still a yavama. And a yavama who gets a get is not able to marry anyone. He needs to give me chalitza. And therefore, the yavam who is saying, what are you talking about? Of course I was sleeping with you. I gave you this get. And stop trying to embarrass me. He doesn't want to give her chalitza. Well, you're going to spit at me now. It's not bad enough that I got so much sores from you. So anyway, he tells the bezdin, I did it. Obviously, we can't say either bimi abim or bichalitz because he already gave her a get. So we say, listen, since it's within 30 days, the yavama is believed because, now what we're assuming right now, that the whole issue over here is she has a real get, which was a get to his bia, and it's talking about that she's insisting he never did bia within shloshim yom. But if it's acher shloshim yom, that then she wouldn't be believed because of a chazaka. The chazaka is you put a boy and girl together for 30 days, they are going to ultimately be sleeping together. Up to 30 days, I can understand that maybe nothing happened. Post 30 days, we have this klal, Ein Adam Mukim al Nafshei. People do not avoid sex for more than 30 days. And therefore, we don't believe her because it's just not normal. So if it was Li'achar Shloshim Yom, and she claims Lo Nivalti, and the Yavam says, absurd, so then we have a real problem because we can't force him to give chalitza because the norm is that we assume that he actually did sleep with her. But on the other hand, she can never marry anybody. Because, and this is important for Mr. Moshe over there, please. This is another important yesod. Shavya anavsha chaticha de isura. A person in claiming that they are usur create an iser on themselves. It's a very big sugya faceted of a neder and so on and so. But in any event, she is claiming that she is a yavama who never was mityabemet and was always given a get, and a get does not help for yavama. So if she tries to marry somebody else, we'll say to her, excuse me, madam, but according to your own words, you're a sura. You can't get married. So she's really a sura. So what the heck is going to happen now? Well, we ask him nicely, look, you know, this poor woman, could you just do chalitza? But we can't force him. So therefore, mevakshim mimenu. But then, bisman shehu modeh, if he admits that he never slept with her, I don't care how many years afterwards it would be. Afilu lacha shnei masor chodesh. Obviously, he is mechuyev to be matir her, and therefore, kofin ota, we will actually force this chalitza, and because otherwise she's always going to be asura. Now, let's talk about another case. Shavya nafsha chaticha di sura, we spoke about, which has certain relationships to neder. This next case is also an issue of having to ask nicely for someone to give chalitza. What's the case over here? So she had made a neder. I hate your rotten guts, she says to her brother-in-law. And she actually says, I am ostering myself on a neder, having anything to do with you, no one know from you, and so on. Meanwhile, she's married to her husband. She doesn't want this bum in her house. Now her husband dies. So what's he supposed to do? She has an iser of a neder to marry him. So there, kofino toshiya chalotzla, because we do not assume that the reason that she made that neder was because she figured she's going to be poisoning her husband any day now, and then she'll fall to Yibum, but she hates his brother even more than she hates him. And we don't think that, no. We think she just hates her brother-in-law, and so she made this neder, but she didn't think her husband's going to drop dead, and that she's going to fall to him, be Yibum. And therefore, since she didn't do it on purpose to be mafkia herself from the Yibum, so in that case, the president can insist, excuse me, sir, you're b'chuyev in Yibum. But I can't do Yibum, this is no good. That's nothing. I understand, you can't do Yibum, so then you have to do chalitza. But how about if she made this neder after the husband died? So then obviously, she makes this neder in consideration also of the fact that she has fallen to Yibum. So then we ask him nicely, that she should be able to get back. We can't force him. He says, what do you mean? She goes ahead and makes it impossible for me to become my mitzvah so that all she can do is spit at me. It's not enough that sorry she made me. I don't want to have anything to do with her. Well, please, sir, couldn't you? I mean, the woman's never going to be able to get married. But how can we be kofahim when she was the one who created this whole thing? And it's even worse than that, because if he doesn't want, you see, the issue over here, remember, is the moment he gives chalitza, he has to pay the ksuva. So therefore, what are we going to tell him? No, this poor woman, what do you mean you have to? I don't want to pay her anything. She doesn't deserve a ksuva. Okay, so in that case, if she says, okay, I'm signing over my ksuva to you, just give me the chalitza. So there the Rambam paskins that we would force him, because over there he doesn't really have a taina, just because you're embarrassed that she should remain asura to her whole life. But v'im nitkav nalakach, if we know for a fact that the whole point of the neder was to destroy the mitzvah of the Yibum, then even if she had made this neder while her husband was alive, we also are only going to ask him nicely, could you please give her chalitza? But we cannot force him to give chalitza. Now, the Mishnah says that if these two kids do Yibum together, then they stay together. But isn't that a problem? Because it's not like Rebbe Meir. Remember, Rebbe Meir said way back at the beginning that a youngster, either boy or girl, do not do either chalitza or yibum, because Rebbe Meir is worried, what happens if it turns out that one of them is sterile? So maybe he'll turn out to be sterile, in which case he was never chayav in Yibum, or the girl will turn out to be sterile, and she wasn't chayav in Yibum, and now what are we doing? We're encouraging over here illicit sex. We're telling them live together, and because it's probably okay, because he'll grow up or she'll grow up, and it'll be a kosher Yibum, and so on. How can Beis Din take that on themselves? Remember, Rabbi Meir Shita is chayshinan lemiyuta. We're always afraid that an unlikely thing might still happen. So how come over here we allow girl and boy, where both of them might turn out not to be ruyim liyibum? According to Rabbi Meir, how do we let them just live together? That's no problem, says the Gemara Rabbi Meir was talking about, where either boy was an adult or girl was an adult, and the partner was a katan or a ketana, right? Okay, there, of course, Rabbi Meir says, well, how can you tell a person who is chayav in mitzvahs to do something that might turn out to be terribly usur? You can't. It could be an isur kares. But if both of them are children, so then the Torah isn't mechayav bezdin to make sure that children don't do isurim. So if they want to sleep together, even on the off chance that one of them is going to, so what's in our business? Let them sleep together. And therefore, there's no problem, afilu liben Rabbi Meir. So therefore, afilu tema Rabbi Meir. When did Rabbi Meir say that if the boy or girl is a katan or ketana, that's where the other partner was an adult? So a gedola for a katan, or a ketana for a gadol. Because at least one of them were telling them to do something wrong. Dechad minaya biyodi surahu. So there, Rabbi Meir says you can't do it, but where both of them are kids, why can't I allow them to do that? Katana balaktana tarvayo kiyadadininu. Neither of them are chayav in mitzvahs. So Rabbi Meir says, well, what? Beis Din is mechuyav to stop people who are maybe ultimately going to be pogeya b'isur? They're not chayav. But says the Gemara, well, it's all very nice. How come you forgot to read the next line? The next line says, but if he was Baal Yavama Gedola to Gadlenu, so she raises him. What do you mean she raises him? How could she raise him? Omer Rabbi Chanina Choza, no, it says if he was Baaleha. So he already did it. So if he already did it, and there's nothing to do about it unless he gives her a get, and he can't give her a get, so in that case, it's different. Yeah, but you see, the Mishnah says, Tegadlenu. Tegadlenu means raise him, get him used to good sexual relations, make sure that he's going to turn into a good husband. I mean, that's what the Mishnah is recommending. You could say they're stuck together, but they're not allowed to continue to sleep together. Instead, the Mishnah is saying, have a good time. That's crazy. How would Rabbi Meir say such a thing that, well, she's an older woman, every male's dream. Here's this little boy, he's getting a great education. This is what we're telling her to do when it may be us, sir? That can't be. Rabbi Meir, ooh, you're right. Because Kol Bia, the Bia, is going to be his, sir. You're right. Machvarta Masisa de Loka Rabbi Meir. It must be, we're not going a libra to Rabbi Meir. But wait a second. Wait a second over here. Why are we talking about Rabbi Meir? Anyway, if we're talking about a little kid over here, so then I don't care about the fact that he may be able to have sexual relations, but he doesn't have good enough sperm. And therefore, he's incapable of fathering a child. And the only reason that they're supposed to be together is because the Torah said, Lahakim le'achiv shem. So what's going on over here? Forget about Rabbi Meir. How are we telling someone who is not chayav in Yibum, we're telling her to continue with a guy who's not chayav in Yibum? He can't have a kid with you yet. Amar Abaye, well, since the Torah says, Yivama yavo aleha, it means whatever the case is. Does it say, Ach yavo aleha? Yivama yavo aleha. It doesn't have to be the same as the brother. Any Yivama. Any of them should be Baalei HaKoldu. Rava says, what's the matter with you? What do you need a pasuk for? Do you honestly believe that currently the case is enough to, because he can't have a child now, so we're going to then say he's usur. But afterwards, when he grows up, then he becomes mutter. How did that happen? Isn't the klal by Yibum that whatever is defined as the state at the time of the Nefila Liyibum is the permanent state? So what are you going to tell me? That mi'ika mitad ashta sira levelabasa shaita sharia, there's a yavama that is currently asura to him, and now it will become mutter later on. That's ridiculous. Omer of Yiram Arav, ko yavama, she'en ani kore b'sha'at nefila, yavamo yavo aleha, if at the moment of the nefila, I don't care if a minute later she becomes kosher to him, whatever the reason was, the erva died, or you know, right? It doesn't matter. If at that instant it was usur, it's usur forever. So if this child is not allowed to be miyabim because of the fact that he's not able to be mekayim lakim lakim shem, so then he would be always usur. And therefore, it's got to be that there's no isur without the pasuk. Wait a minute, what do you mean there's no isur? Maybe that's exactly the din. Hey, you know what? You just got me thinking. Maybe a male who is a child at the time that the Yavama falls to him and is too young to be making La'achiv Shem is actually never going to be Chayav in Yibum. Hey, why are we taking for granted that definitely, ultimately will be Chayav in Yibum, huh? Ema Hachinami? Says the Gemara. You forgot the pasuk. It says, Ki yeshvu achim yachtav. If both brothers are in the same world, how do we define in the same world, huh? If he was 1 second old when the brother died, he's chayav in Yibum, okay? I think he's going to have a really rough time at 1 second old, being mekayim lakim achiv, shem lachiv. So obviously the Torah does not care about his current ability. It just cares about his being a brother. That's all. I see the brothers are, Baruch Hashem, both alive and well and shall be so for why are they bothering with this?
I'm just wondering, according to that other Svara, that we're saying that...
Okay, we don't have time for discussions right now because we're very, very behind. I'm really sorry. But I do want to point out that this issue of Yibum is an extremely meaningful element of a relationship of brothers. So please keep that in mind, that when you're learning Masechet Yavama, even Yibum, even though Chas V'Chalila should never come to such a thing, but it means that there is a profound undercurrent of relationship between brothers that is actually part of the entire Chiyuvim that they have one to the other. So that should increase the Darga of Hinei Matovu Manoim on a very serious note. So it should, you know, be more of an issue, I think, between you. Okay, so since it says, Ki yeshvu achim yachtav, afilu ben yom echad. Now, next piece in the Mishnah. A Yavama says, within 30 days, he never slept with me. We are mechai of him to do chalitza. After 30 days, we ask him nicely to do chalitza. The reason for that is, apparently, because we believe that once you have a male and female together for 30 days, they end up in bed. But if you don't have 30 days, we believe that maybe nothing ever happened between them. Who is that man diyoma? Mantana, the atlatim yumin mukiminish anafsh. Who is the man diyoma that believes that you can put people together and that for 30 days they won't have sex? Who is that? Amr Rabbi Yochanan, that's Rabbi Meir. How do we know that? The Tanya. Ta'anat betulim kol shloshim yom. Remember that if immediately after a marriage, at the first time that the chosan has slept with his kala, he comes to Bezdin and he says, lo matzati besulim, he wants to passel the ksuva and so on. So if it's immediately after their first relationship, then we believe him. How long can he show up in Besdin and say, it's the first time I ever slept with her, and I find that she isn't really a virgin? So Rabbi Meir says, shloshim yom, for 30 days. So notice, for 30 days, he's believed that he never slept with her. Divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi Omer, get out of here. The moment that they're alone together, pow, we don't believe that they never had relations. And therefore, if there was ever any stira between them, in other words, if we know that they were in private, then the issue is either immediately or never. So if nistira, la'alter. If not, if they were never alone together, so obviously, I mean, there's no time limit whenever that time is. It says, Rabbah, no, not necessarily, for heaven's sakes. How are you comparing the two cases? In a case where you're talking about a marriage, these people, remember, have been, we use the English word engaged, doesn't mean engaged, they've been related with Erisin for the past year. Now they're at the chuppah. For heaven's sakes, the entire idea is that they're going to be sleeping together. Of course, Rabbi Yossi says, well, they've been waiting to sleep together. Well, we're going to believe all of a sudden they go to the chuppah and now they decide to watch a movie? I mean, come on. So that's different. I mean, over here, it's a Yavama. For God's sake, he's being pushed to sleep with his brother's wife. He's, oh my God, what am I going to do with this woman? There we're going to say the moment that they're together, he's going to hop into bed with her as if he's been waiting for this. He's completely embarrassed by the whole situation. She's completely embarrassed. It's very reasonable to say that they never slept together. So therefore, says Rabbah, what's it got to do with Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi? I feel tamer Rabbi Yossi. I can't look on Rabbi Yossi. Awesome. Over there, I understand. He says they're not going to, there's no reason for us to assume that all of a sudden they decided they're not going to be sleeping together. But with an Arusa, that's an Arusa. The Gispa over there, that's the whole business. They know each other. They've been talking about marriage. Here we're talking about Eshet Achiv. Mivsas buzzes Mina. He's like just embarrassed by the whole situation. It's very awkward. Yibum is an awkward situation. How are you comparing awkward situations to loving situations? Absolutely irrelevant. Fine. So now the Gemara says, I don't, and remember when we read the Mishnah, we already incorporated this Gemara. But the Gemara doesn't know that she has a get. So the Gemara says, look, I understand. If we believe him, we believe her, I mean, that she never actually had this kiyum of Yibum with her. So we say, give chalitza? Why do we say give chalitza? We should say to the guy, will you please get in bed? What are you doing over here? Sitting around with the Yavama, your mitzvah is to be doing Yibum. Or at least make up your mind, one or the other. But why are we only telling him to do chalitza? Omar Rav, no, we're talking over here that she has a get. So he already gave her a get. So we can't tell him to do Yibum. He claims he did, and then he gave her a get. How can you say that that's the case? Meisve. Yivama she'amra betosh shoshim yom lo nivalti. Bein shuhu omer ba'alti, bein shuhu omer lo ba'alti. I don't care what he says, okay? Whether he says, yes, I did, or whether he says, no, I didn't, we force chalitza. Li'achar shloshim yom, mivakshim imenu. We ask him very nicely. If she says, li'achar shloshim yom, nivalti, no, it's fine, he slept with me. He says, no, I never slept with her. He can give her a get, and she does not need chalitza, because it's achar shloshim yom. If he says ba'alti achar shloshim yom, and she says lo nivalti, then even when he changes his mind and he says, well, it's really true, I never really slept with her, afa pishchaz v'ama lo ba'alti, in that case, she's going to need, now listen to this, Rav, she's going to need a get and chalitza. Now, you said she already had a get. The whole discussion over here was where she's coming with the get, and now it says, then she's going to need a get and chalitza. Why is she going to need to get a chalitza? Well, because we believe initially what he said, because it's backed up by the fact that it's achar shloshim. So when he says afterwards, I agree, fine, if you agree, give her chalitza, but you can't now make her muteret without a get. So she needs get and chalitza. Now, Rav, that means she did not have a get in advance. So what are we talking about? She needs a get and chalitza. So what's going on over here? The very fact that it says she needs a get. So now we're back to our original problem. Why do we say that we make him do chalitza? If she didn't have a get, then we should have made him to do, according to Rav. As Rav says, if you have the get, then we do chalitza. But if she doesn't have a get, we would have said, listen, either be miyabin, we do chalitza, but over here she didn't have a get, we say the same thing. Amravani, you don't understand what it means over here. It doesn't mean that she needs to get a get. Now she had a get. What it's saying is she needs a chalitza with the get. That's all it's saying. You had your get. She needs both, a get and chalitza. That's what it's saying, because now it's no longer enough. I mean, they're both saying that actually the idea is that there was no bia. And so it's just telling me the get that we had before, you need both. Ravashi Amar, you guys, did you forget that there's two kind of gets? There's a get for Zika, and there's a get for Bia. Now, the idea over here is, what's the get for Zika? That's the takana that if a Yavam gives her a get, that he assers her on him, right? It's two different cases. When Rav said that he gave her a get, that could be talking about even a get that was for the Zika. And he says, I'm giving you this get, so now we cannot continue to be a Yavam and a Zivama. Bad boy. Okay, but I still slept with you. Bad boy. I still slept with you. Okay, but now what are we going to do about the relationship that you actually do have, which needs a get for your Yibam? The fact that you gave a get, which is a Darabonan idea, remember that if you give a get, you patzel or the Akim, you're still going to need a get. That's what it's saying. You need a get for the Yibam, since he originally claimed that he had slept with her, and he needs a chalitza. That's all that it means. When Rav said he's coming along with a get, why does that have to be a get for his Yibam? Even if he had given a get for a chalitza, we can't tell the guy, go sleep with her. She claims he didn't sleep with her, so I'm not allowed to sleep with her. I gave her a get. I thought, you know, that answers us. Well, it does. Okay, great. So then go do chalitza. Now, there was another maisa, says the Gemara, where both Shnei Modim, the Yavam, the Yavama, said, we never ended up in bed together. And this was La'achar Shloshim Yom. And they came to Rava, and they want to do chalitza. So Rava said, okay, so let's just finish this up. Okay, let's do the chalitza and bye-bye. So chalotzla and then Charlotte Tigre, let's finish this up already. So now Rav Sharvia says to Rava, wait a minute. How come he doesn't need to also give her a get? Didn't we say that tzricha get v'chalitza if it's acher Shloshim Yom? And basically, even though now they were made that, yes, we do need it, but most of the Mefarshim learned that Lechatchila, this is a continuation of the case we had before, that Lechatchila he had claimed that he had slept with her, and then he admitted that he didn't. So therefore, the same case we had. That's why we're referring to the Brisa before, where it says, Tzricha get v'chalitza. So Rava says, okay, you're right. Itanya Tanya, that's what it said in the Braita, then I made a mistake. I should not have said du chalitza v'shayala tigra, because we're still going to have to make out a get for him. Boy mine hon. Now, Reb Nachman, this is a great name. Anybody's looking for a name for a boy, just think of this name. Hon. Man, what an incredible name, no? I mean, yeah, you do need a lot of guts, but what an incredible name. I mean, it means, wow, everything, right? Hon. And then in English, I mean, a perfectly honed child. Come on, you can't get better. I dare you. Anyway, so Reb Nachman had a son called Hon. That's Reb Nachman for you. Anyway, so Hon asked, Breder Reb Nachman, he asks Reb Nachman, what about the tzora in all of these cases? We forgot the poor tzora. So now this tzora was very happy. She walks, you know, daintily away while the other woman goes ahead and does the yibum and so on. All of a sudden, she gets a telephone call 3 months later. We got bad news for you. She claims that there never was a yibum. Oh, my God. So now it turns out that she was also a sura, right? It wasn't only this woman that was a sura. What happens to her? Omar leis, so Reb Nachman said to Hon, v'chei mipnei sh'anu kofinu mevakshim te'aser tzara. Understand? We have to take the din in our hands to ask him nicely or to force him. That was nogea our chashash legabe this woman. And we had the complication of shavya nafshe chaticha di yisura. But I mean, without that, we wouldn't have bothered. So we're going to bother now to worry about the tzara. So again, this is only if he said that he had slept with her because of chaticha di yisura. But we'll continue to in order to finish this. Hanoderet hana'ah. The second case is, so this woman makes a neder while her husband is alive. She doesn't want to have anything to do with this yavama. He is usur on her with a neder. Now, there is the same idea shows up in Masechet Nedarim in a Mishnah. And there, it talks about the change in the way that we had a perspective of how to believe people. So they used to say, Rishana Yomri, there are three women who are able to get a ksuva even though it's on the basis of something that they say that forces a get. And what is that? So one is a woman who says, Tmeya ani lecha. So this is a woman who's married to a Kohen. She says she was raped, and therefore a Kohen is not allowed to remain married to a wife who was raped. So he has to divorce her. It's not her fault that she was raped, but we believe her that she was raped, and so Mamela, he'll have to give her her ksuva with his get. If she says, Hashamayim beini uveinecha, now all over, as Tosis points out, Hashamayim beini uveinecha means that she is claiming that you don't ejaculate properly. Very dribbly. I'm never going to get pregnant with you. And he, she is more believed about his ejaculation than she is, than he is. Now, the question over here is that Rashi, for some reason, says in this case, connected to the previous sugya, Hashamayim beini uveinecha is God knows you never have sex with me. Okay, but that's, as Tosis points out, that's never what it means elsewhere. Okay, but in any event, we don't really have any way to get to the bottom of this. But what we believe is that this was at the time that the Mishnah was said in the Nedarim Barishona earlier. Believe it or not, there was a time when love was, it used to be that a woman would never dare say such a thing to a husband if it weren't true. How could she bring herself? A husband knows perfectly well what it is that they've been relating with, and she says something like this. So the very fact that it is impossible to conceive of this level of chutzpah and carelessness, can you imagine? So she must be telling the truth, because otherwise she would be psychologically incapable of saying such things. Boy, as things changed. Okay, so therefore, it used to be that we believed her. She says, Nitula ani min hayehudim. She asserts herself from sleeping with any man. Okay, so we assume in that case that the poor girl must be suffering from sex terribly, and she's in such pain that she says, I'm off of sex forever. Never again. Okay, so then that means that it's not her fault, and we're going to hush at a woman, and she's going to make up something like that and make a netter and answer herself on everybody with the actual plan of having the best and tell the husband, your poor wife, it's no fault of hers, you have to give her a get, and then she'll go away to Timbuktu where they don't know that she made a netter like that, and she'll say, I love it. So then they didn't have that kind of chashash, right? So they let her be collected her ksuva. Then, when things changed and you could no longer rely on that, so then they say, oh no. Shalote isha notenet enea ba'achrum mekalkelat al ba'ala. Sure, all of these women, they want out from husband and then they're going to get the boy they want, right? So then, chazrul omar, so then they said, look, you say to me'ani lecha, bring some kind of proof that you were raped. You can't just say you were raped. We won't believe you. Hashamayim ben yuvinecha. Look, we're not going to give you a divorce. I mean, we'll try to fix things up, you know? Well, whatever. I mean, it's different. Lashonas, we'll take him out to a beautiful restaurant, light some candles, make it romantic. So ultimately, you know, they'll finally get together. But then that type of thing. But we're not going to give her a get. So there are bakashav, similar to what we said over here. If she says, Nitula ani min hayehudim, her husband can be made for a netter like that, at least the part of it that's nogea him, that's called beino levina, and she would be allowed to be mishameshet with him, and her netter will remain osir as far as anybody else is concerned. So now, I want to know what the din would be in a case like that. If she said netulani min hayudim, and then her husband dies, does it still apply to the yavam? The yavam is not going to be able to cancel this netter, because even a regular husband can't. This is another word for Moshe. Please write down. Ein mefirin bekodmim. Pre-existing nedarim can never be mufarim by a current husband, and certainly not by a yavam. This is called kodmim. The question is, when she made that neder while her husband was alive, shall we say that she had in mind that her husband may die and she'll fall to the yavam, and therefore her neder included the yavam, and therefore it would be asura? Or do we say, no, she wasn't thinking about that. She was only thinking about people that she would possibly one day, you know, be able to marry, and she's saying, I'm off of sex forever. Give me beer instead. And therefore, she wasn't thinking about the yavam. So the yavam wasn't included. This is one approach to sugya. We'll take this simple approach. Rav Amar, the yavam is not like the Baal. The Baal, he has to take off the netter, but the yavam has no problem. It never was talking about him. It wasn't included because he wasn't a possible relationship to her. Shmuel says, not true. He takes into consideration. She takes into consideration the possibility of the yavam. Says Abaye, well, it's much more likely from the Mishnah that Rav is right. The yavam's not in the Baal, like the Baal, because look at our Mishnah. Here it says, if a woman makes a neder while her husband is alive, then we say, look, she didn't have you in mind, man. Come on, go give her chalitza. So kofin otor sheyachlot. But if it's true what Shmuel claims, that no, the woman takes into consideration the possibility that ultimately she may fall to him beyibum, so then why would the Mishnah say that we force him to do chalitza? Then it must be that she does not have that in mind. It should have said mevakshim. We ask him nicely, but we don't allow her to create a situation where we're going to force him to do chalitza. So obviously the Mishnah is simply saying that a woman does not take into consideration while her husband is alive that she's dealing with her yavama. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. We might be talking specifically in the Mishnah where currently they have children, and it never occurred to her that her children are going to die and that she's going to fall to the yavam. That's different. But maybe the case over here is where she didn't have children. So in the event that Yisha Sheyesh Labanim, indeed, Kulei Hailo Maske Adaita, she's not going to go Ad Kibekach to think I'm going to fall to a Yovam because I'm going to lose my children, Chas V'Shalom. Wait a minute. So then what are you saying? That if she doesn't have children, that then we would always be Choshiter that she made a netter thinking about the Yovam? And the din would be that we can only be Mavakesh. So then the Mishnah doesn't make any sense. Instead of the Mishnah saying that if we know for a fact that her kavana was b'chaye bala to get rid of the yavam, we can only be mevakshim. We don't have to talk about a case where we know for a fact that she had that. We could say a simple difference. B'amed devorim amurim, when do we say that we'll force the yavam to do chalitza only if she had children at the time that she made the neder? But if she didn't have children, then we will only ask him. But it doesn't say that. Elishma, you know, so what do you see from there? That we couldn't care less. She did have children. She didn't have children. It must be like what Rav says. She's not thinking of her yavam while she's married to her husband. Ah, shmamina. Indeed, that it makes much more sense to go aliba Rav's approach. Hadran alach beit shamai. Excellent. Chirish shenasa pikacha. Now, the fact is that all of the Mishnayos in this parak have been lumped together over here with into one Mishnah, but we will separate them so we can easily see the different issues that are being brought up. And we start over here with the dinim of a cheresh. We've taken all of these things for granted until now. We spoke about, you know, one brother married to a chereshet, the one to a pikachat, and so on and so forth. They all really end up coming out of the inyanim of this Mishnah. So even though be'etzem, we're going to look at the dinim of gittin, we're going to look at the dinim of yibam, and that's the flow. The fact is that meanwhile, we're touching on the underlying takanas, which the Rabbanan made for various types of marriages that are not marriages d'oraisa. We already saw before that there were these inyanim, and we spoke about the difference between the marriage of a ketana and the marriage of a chareshet. And therefore, here too, we're going to get in the Gemara into the underlying reasons for these takanas and why, in fact, they differ in cases as to which zechuyot they offer. We'll also talk about where we're able to give gittin or where we're chayev to give yibum and where we're able to give chalitza, all things that really we're going to have already discussed, but we're going to put it all in one place. So we start over here with the dinim of the marriage of a cheresh or a chareshet, which even though midiraisa, they're not considered to be b'nei dea, the chachomim were metakein a marriage for them. Now, I just want to mention a very interesting thing, because there have been an awful lot of recent developments in the issue of cheresh v'chareshet. Because, I mean, the question is, nowadays, that there are so many modalities such as sign language and educational efforts which allow a cheresh v'chareshet, a complete deaf mute, to be integrated into normal society, whether all of these dinim are still true. I mean, is all of this a derabbanan only, or at that point does it become that they are considered to be b'nei dea, and so on? So it's very interesting that there's big machlokesin about this. I mean, you have Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Reb Yashuv, Reb Yechiel Weinberg, and many other modern poskim, who say that if in fact the cheresh v'chareshet are fully capable of normal human intercourse, doesn't matter that they use sign language or whatever it is, but they're communicative and able to define their own lives and work in the marketplace and so on, and they're noyeg like a normal bendas, so many hold that it gives them a din of a pikeach l'choldover. And that when we say that they don't have da'at, this is because of the reality of the fact that if there's no tikshoret, then there is no da'at. But lemaisa, if there is interaction, then that is da'at by definition. This is a very interesting way of approaching the sugya, because there are many others that hold, which includes Rebbeisha and Rav Avadya Yosef and others, that these are dinim that are given over together with other dinim, halacha l'maaseh m'Sinai, in the shiur of da'at. And therefore, just because they're capable of the effect of da'at, doesn't mean that they have da'at, and therefore they don't have a dinim of pikeach mamish. And there are those who say to be machmer in both directions and so on. Okay, but you can understand that this leads to a lot of issues. And the question is, in what areas we might consider, we're going to see today, there might be different areas in which someone would have a din of a bendaz and other areas not, which is fascinating. That we're going to get into in later on in today's daf. So in any event, beginning this sugya, so a cheresh, which means that by definition, eino shomeiv, eino medaber, here we're talking about, even though we remember we did have the Ramban who said that when it was the dinim of chalitza, we're limited to the problem of not being able to speak, even where there would be das. But here we're talking about the normal dinim of an eino shomeiv, eino medaber. He went ahead and he marries a pikachat. So the pikeach shenosa chareshet is the same thing, because one of the partners doesn't have das. So the din over there is imratza yotzi. So it's possible for the marriage to be, in that case, ended with a get. which is interesting because you can't give a get without das lechora. So we'll talk about that in a moment. So you can be motzi, but you can also be mekayim because the rabbanon were metaken. How can you be motzi? Because kishem shu kones berimiza kachu motzi berimiza. Since the rabbanon were metaken, that in the relationship that is defined by the movements, you know, yes, a person shakes their head, wink your eyes three times if you understand it, whatever. So those are remizot. So that level of knisa is sufficient for the level of being motzi. And therefore, a cheresh, even though the cheresh has to have das, even though you can tell me a chareshet is baal korcha to get, but the cheresh has to have das. But nonetheless, in the same way that he was able to be machmis, so too is he able to be motzi, namely birmiza. Mashenk and the chareshet, we don't have to come on to that. How about a pikeach shenasa pikachat and then was nitcharsha? Now here you can run into serious problems. If initially everything was normal and then suddenly he got a stroke and he became a deaf mute. So imratsa yotzi, even though over here we're talking about a diuraisa, because at the time of the marriage itself, she was completely normal, but now she ends up with a stroke, and she cannot be, you would think, Megureshet. There's no problem in the Gerishin, because you don't need the dot of the Isha in the Gerishin. And therefore, the Gerishin are a Deoraisa Gerishin, and there's no problem of being Megarisher, even though the marriage was a Deoraisa. And, of course, obviously, he could be Mekayim if he wishes. In the event that Nishtatet. Now here we have another issue. Suppose she went insane. If she went insane, then mi'ikar hadin, the halacha is that you would be allowed to be megarasher minatera because of the same reason. We don't need her das, so he can decide and want single-handedly that he wants to be megarasher. However, here, as we're going to see in the Gemara, we have a takona derabonan, that once a person was married to a woman, then even if she goes insane, he's not allowed to divorce her. The reason that he's not allowed to divorce her, even though he can theoretically divorce her, ba'al korcha, is because there's no one to take care of her. And therefore, since he is, in effect, throwing her onto the street for prostitution, how is she supposed to survive with no one to take care of her? So therefore, the Rabbanan answered her because she has no way of protecting herself. So this is a different halacha from the dinim that we had before. Here the diaraisa would be to allow him to be megarish, and the derabbanan is not to allow him to be megarish. This is the opposite takana that we've had up until this point. And therefore, the halacha is that because of minag hefker, lo yotzi. How about in the opposite case, where when they got married, they were both normal, and then he suffered a stroke, or he went insane. So over there, since the marriage is a deraisa marriage, there's nothing to do. He can't dissolve that marriage b'deraisa because he doesn't have das. And therefore, to do it b'remiza, which would only be a drabanan, is not going to work. And because of that, eino motzi olamit, there is no way for him to be megarish a nisuim gimurim with a get minarabanan. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Can you explain to me the inconsistencies over here? Now, the Gemara is going to ask what it was that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was disturbed by. Was he disturbed by the fact that we allowed the cheresh to divorce? Or were we disturbed by the fact that we did, did not allow the cheresh to divorce, or that we did allow the cheresh to be divorced? Which one was he disturbed by? That will be medayik in his words. But in any event, he asks, why is there this difference? Why is it that you say that an isha shenitcharsha can be divorced, but an ish shenitcharesh can never be motzi la'olam? Okay, so obviously he argues on the Chachamim, and he holds that there is no way, that's the way we end up, that there is no way to be megaresh a woman who was nitcharsha. So why, according to you, are you mechalik? So Amrulo, the Chachamim, answered Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, what in the world is the comparison? Heino domeha isha migaresh li isha mitgareshet. I mean, the isha, remember, can be forced into a divorce. Sha isha yotza l'ritzona v'shelo l'ritzona. And therefore, even if she was mitcharsha, we don't require her ratzon, and so we don't require her dat. Ma she'enkein ha'ish eno motzi ela l'ritzono. And once he became a cheresh, and now eno ben dat, how can he utilize a takana derabanan? We could never make such a takana to let him divorce his wife, because the kiddushin is a deoraisa, and the rabbanan cannot be oker the deoraisa. He eid Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada. Now, in the same issue, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada testified that the din was in a case of Kedushe Diorisa. But over here was Kedushe Diorisa, not because she was a Pikachat who subsequently went insane, but because she was originally a Chareshet, but her father married her off. So over there, when her father is Mekabel Kedushin for her, the din is that it's a Diorisa. The Torah didn't make a nafkamina between a daughter who is just a Ketana and a daughter who is also a Chareshet. What's the difference? It gave the schus to the marriage to the father. In this case, the father was Mekabel and the Kedushin for her. So what happens if she needs a get? Can she be Yotza beget when now she's already a Gedolah? She's not in the Rishus of the father. What happens now? She was an Eishas Ish, Midiraisa. And nonetheless, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada said, she can be Mekabel her own get. How is that, even though she's a Chareshet? Because Isha is mitgareshet shelo miritzona, as we just said, so we don't need her das. So therefore, the Chachomim turn to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, based on the edus of Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada, and they said to him, well, nu, avzu, keyotzipa. This is the same case. A pikachat, who was a kedushin d'oraisa, who then became a chareshet, is exactly the same situation as a child chareshet whose father was mekabel the kedushin, who then grows up. What's the difference between those two cases? Here you see Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada was made that the halacha is that she can get a get. In the case of the ketana that now grew up who is a chareshet, same thing is true over here. There's no need of that. And therefore, it's exactly the same, even though the Kedushin originally was a Kedushin D'oraita, there is still no problem in being Mevatel, the Kedushin D'oraita. Now, at this point, we are going to go through all of the various cases of the interaction between the state of Charashut or Katnut and one of the partners and how it affects the Dinim of Yibama. We've spoken about these cases before. The Mishnah summarizes these cases. Again, the Perek is organized in such a way that they took all of the Mishnayos and threw it into one big Mishnah, so it's a little bit harder to remember. So we'll take a look at each case the way it is in the Mishnayos. Each case is a separate Mishnah. So we start with the case of Charashim on two sides. In other words, we could have, when it comes to Yibama, we have two brothers, both of them are Charashim. Or we could have two sisters. We could have two Yevamot, that both of them are Charashot. Let's start with the case where two brothers were Charashim, and they went to marry two sisters. Now, those two sisters, at this point, if the husbands, the brothers, are Charashim, we couldn't care less what they are. Because once the brothers are only capable of a Kedushin Derabbanan, it really doesn't matter what the status is of the women. They could marry two sisters who were both Harashot. They could marry two sisters who were both completely normal. They could marry one sister, one marries a sister who's normal, one marries a sister who's a Chareshet. Same thing, because the marriage is defined by the partner who is capable of having das here. In the inverse, we could have two normal brothers even who marry. Let's start with the sisters. We have two achayot. Who did they marry? Well, they're both charashot, so it doesn't matter who they're married to for the same reason. They could be married to two brothers who are themselves perfectly normal. They could be married to two brothers who are both of them charashin. They could be married to two brothers, one of whom is a cheresh, one of them is a pikeach, but it makes absolutely No difference. Because in that event, if one of the brothers dies, then there is not going to be, in any of the above cases, a chiyuv of yibum, because since we have over here the similarity of the level of marriage, in all these cases, the level of marriage is derabbanan because one of the partners is incapable, or both partners is incapable of creating a marriage d'oraisa, so they're married only by derabbanan. As we already saw, the klal is that the Rabbanan simply implement the Kiddushin mid Rabbanan with exactly the same rules that the Kiddushin D'Oraisa would be. So in the event that these would have been Kiddushin D'Oraisa, a sister who, sister of a wife who falls to the Yavam is one of the 15 Arayas, and actually the primary 15 Arayas, because that's, remember, that's, this case is the case from which we learn out the Aleha, Bechayel, all of those dinim were predicated on this interrelationship. As we keep pointing out, the one place where the Torah says, even though it's your brother, take her. And the one place where the Torah says, unless, even though it's her sister, don't take her. And those are the one case where you can have a change in the status of an erva. If a brother dies, it completely changes the status from Israel to mitzvah. If the wife dies, it completely changes the status of the achot. Those are the only two cases that we have that. Those are the only two cases the Torah uses as a dugmaot for these issues. And that is precisely what happens over here. I couldn't care less if it's a d'oraisa on both sides, d'rabbanan on both sides. The bottom line is that it's the same halacha. The achot ishto will pater from yibum and chalitza completely. And this is the same as the opening mishnah in the Masechet, except that here we're talking about a similar to the d'oraisa d'rabbanan. Now let's take the case number two. Here we have two brothers. One of them, so let's view this as a separate mishnah now. We have two brothers, call it case number two. One is a cheresh and one is a pikeach. In this case, they marry two normal women, sisters. And now what happens in the two possible cases? So let's talk about the case where the cheresh dies, in which case we're talking about a d'rabbanan marriage over here. And since we're talking about a d'rabbanan marriage, so we have a completely different issue that we have to take up. Because in this case, his brother is going to be faced with the need, Mayasa Pikeach Baala Pikachat. He's married to a Pikachat, and now Achot Ishto has fallen to him. So what happens? No problem at all. I mean, this is totally poshut, because, right, obviously, in the case here, we have a real achot isha falling to him from a drabbanan chiyav of yibam. Forget it, man. There's no problem. But what about the other way around? What about if the pikeach, bala pikachat, dies, which is a d'oraisa, and now his wife falls for yibam to his brother, who is a cheresh and is married minarabbanan? But the problem is that the zika that created the din here of the yibum is a d'oraisa zika, mayasa cheresh bala pikachat, where his marriage is only d'rabbanan, and the d'rabbanan marriage cannot be docha the zika d'oraisa. What is he going to do now? Because he got another problem. He cannot remain married to his wife, because she is now the classic case, achot zekukato. And obviously the rabbanon weren't mater her to him for any reason. Why would they be mater her? And therefore, he has to get rid of his wife, motzi ishto beget. He would need, as he can do, as a cheresh, he can divorce his wife, because kishem shenichmesa with remiza. And therefore, the zika, which is a d'oraisa, assert her, and there's nothing to do about that. What does he do about the yavama? Oh boy, this is a very serious problem. There's nothing to do about the yavama. She'll never be able to get married. Because what happens over here? He cannot do chalitza. He can't do chalitza because he is a cheresh. But he also cannot take her because she's asura le'olam, since she is achot ishto mirabbanan. So she is really stuck in this situation. Let's take the next case. Shnei Achim Pikrin. We have two brothers, both of whom are perfectly normal, and they marry two sisters. In this case, one of the sisters is a Chareshet, and one of them is normal. What do we do in this case, the mirror image of the previous case? So, ma yaseh, what are we supposed to do in a case like this where we do not have a nisuin d'oraisa on one end? So, meita bikeach ba'al ha-chareshet, where over there it's absolute norm, derabbanan over here, because he's a ba'al ha-chareshet, and his wife falls to the husband of her sister, who is a pikeach, married to a pikachet. So this is the mirror image. And that is a d'oraisa marriage. And the zika of the achot isha is midivrei sofrim. Can the iser of a zika for divrei sofrim aser an existing woman? Yes, it can. And since it's here a Isser derabbanan, so then teitzei mishum achot isha. In this case, we don't have any problem because, look, even an achot isha, where we would have a real d'oraisa, there would be absolutely no yibum. So Kolshken here, where she's not even married, there's, of course, nothing to discuss. But what about the other way around? If the pikeach bala pikachat falls to the bala chareshet, what does he do? Maya sa pikeach, he's a normal person, but he's only married min rabbanan. But over here he has the zika of yibum, which is d'oraisa. So that is a problem because he will have to be motzi ishto beget because the zika of the sister is going to answer her on him because but over here, there's no problem for the Yavama because all he has to do is b'chalitza, and he is a piker, so he can do chalitza, so he's mater her with chalitza, but of course he cannot be miyabim, only midrabanan, but he cannot be miyabim midrabanan because midrabanan, she's achot ishto, even though they're not really married, but it's enough to ask her midrabanan, the yibam. Next case. Shnei Achim. In this case, we have one brother who's a Cheresh, one brother who's a Pikeach, who married two sisters, one who is a Chareshet, and one who is a Pikachat, and they each marry their own kind. That we're taking for granted, as we'll see. So now suppose the Cheresh Bala Chareshet, where over there we have, of course, a Derabbanan marriage, he dies, his wife falls to his brother, who is married normally, a pikeach. What should be done? Absolutely nothing. What needs to be done? She is married, midiraisa, and a drabonan achot isha falls to her. Even if it would have been a deraisa, we would have just said, forget about it. There's no yibum and there's no chalitza, and that's exactly what we say over here. She should be teitzei mishum achot isha. But how about the other way around, where the pikeach ba'ala pikachat dies. Now, his wife, who was married to Midiraisa, falls to the Cheresh. What does the Cheresh, who was married to a Chareshah, do? Because over here, the Zikat is a Diraisa. Well, he's got to get rid of his wife. Because his wife is now Achot Zekukato Midiraisa, and he's only married to her Midirabbanan. I mean, so, therefore, he needs to give her a get, which, of course, he can do, as we said in the earlier Mishnayos. And she then goes out. And what happens to the Yavama, the Eshet Achiv? Nothing to do for her. He can't do Chalitza because he is a Cheresh. He can't be Miyabimer because he was married to her sister, even though it was only Minarabbanan, but there's nothing to do for her in this mirror case either. Next case, and next Mishnah. Shnei Achim. One brother is a Cheresh, one is a Pikeach. Here, we're going to start the series of non-sisters. Okay, so up until now, we had the whole issue of the Achot Ishto Midrabbanan. Now let's start talking about where brothers were married to unrelated women. Both of those women are Pikchot. So, in this case, what happened was that initially the Cheresh was only married Midrabbanan to a normal woman. He dies, and his normal wife falls to his normal brother for Yibum. what shall be done by the brother? Maya sapikeach ba'ala pikachat, where over here the zika is a drabonan zika, whatever he wants. What's the problem? They're not related. So he's got a drabonan chiyuv, so to speak, because the whole yibum here was based on a drabonan marriage. I don't know. What does he want to do? Does he want to do chalitza? He could do chalitza. Does he want to do yibum? He could do yibum. All midrabonan, of course, but there's no problem. Now, suppose the pikeach, bala pikachat, dies. And now his wife has to be taken care of by a cheresh, who is married to a pikachat. What does he do? Well, the only thing that he can do, since he cannot do chalitza, the only thing that he can do is yibum. But once he does that yibum, he can never give her a get, because the yibum was a deraisa. And giving the get is, since he is a cheresh, is only the derabbanan. He wasn't machnas her beremiza. He took her as a deraisa. The Torah gave her to him for yibum. And therefore, here too, if he takes her, which is all that can be done for her, they are locked into that yibum situation. Next case. Both brothers are pikrim in this case, and they marry two unrelated women. One of them is a pikachat, one of them is a chareshet, the opposite case. So in this case, meita pikeach ba'ala chareshet, and now his wife, min rabbanan, falls to his brother, who is a normal person, married to a normal woman. What shall he do? So, well, since he was, in this case, it falls to the brother who cannot, who, one second, what's the story over here? Let me just remind myself. Both brothers were pikrim. Right. So what should the pikach bala pikachat do? He cannot do chalitza because she is a chareshet in this case. So all he can do is he can be kones. But in this case, there's no problem of his giving a get because he is a pikeach. So if he wants to, imrat salahotzi, if subsequently he wants to give her a get, he can give her a get, and then she can get married to anybody that she wants. How about the other way around, where the pikeach bala pikachat, which is a deraisa, falls to the brother who is a pikeach, but he's married to the chareshet? What's the problem? He can do whatever he wants. They're not related, remember, the two women, and therefore his marriage to the woman is unrelated to the yibum. He does whatever the heck he wants. Next case, Shnei Achim. In this case, one of them is a cheresh and one of them is a pikeach. They're married to two women, but those women are not related in this case, and again, each one marries the similar one. One marries a chereshet, cheresh marries a chereshet, a pikeach marries the pikachat, the cheresh bala chereshet dies, the wife falls to the pikeach, maya is a pikeach bala pikachat. Well, he cannot do chalitza because she's a chereshet, but he can certainly do yibum, and then he can give her a get if he wants, and now she will be muteret l'chol adam, and that's the only way to be mater her. She imratza lotzi yotzi, because he, after all, has a full das. Now, how about if the pikeach bala pikachat dies, and now his wife falls to the brother, who is only a cheresh? What does he do? Maya se cheresh bala chereshet. He cannot give chalitza, obviously, because he is a cheresh. All he can do is be kones, and he cannot give her a get, for the same reason we said before. The Zika over is a deraisa. There is no way to give a get, which is the Rabbanan, to be mafkia a deraisa. Asks the Gemara, Omar Rami Bar Chama, Maishna Cheresh, we said all along, we've taken for granted, that the Rabbanan have created this marriage, which has been the topic of our discussion all along. The Rabbanan have created a marriage for a Cheresh and for a Chareshet. The Rabbanan Tiknulu Nisuin. And when it comes to a shote or a shota, over there is no takona. We know there's no takona because of the brayta. The tani shote v'katan shenasu nashim v'metu. In that case, there's no problem. They died. They died. Nishoteim peturot min achalitza min ayibum. There is no din achalitza, no din of yibum, which means that there's not even a drabonan wedding at all over here. So that means Rabbanan did not give any zechut of chitun for insanity whatsoever, or for a kata. Now, how do you explain that? Well, I explain very simply. A cheresh and a chareshet, it is meaningful to be metaken for them a concept of marriage. Because why not? I mean, it can be a marriage that is sustainable. Therefore, tekinu l'rabbanan nisuin. But a shota or a shota, where over there it is simply not a sustainable marriage at all. The rabbanan do not create situations that satisfy some type of immigration law and have no sustainability. There's no meaning in giving a marriage to people that are incapable of normal relationships. That's what it means to be insane. It means that it's impossible to ultimately get along. The ein adam dar im nachash bekvifa achat. We're going to put somebody into a snake pit. You put him into a cage with a snake and say, get along. You know, a tiger, maybe, but a snake? So therefore, bekvifa achat, we will never do that. And therefore, lo takin rabbanan nisuin. Yeah, but that doesn't explain a katan. How come for a katana we gave a marriage, and for a katan, we were never metakein a marriage? There, it's certainly sustainable, isn't it? So how come a katan, the rabbanan did not give marriage, but to a cheresh, who was in the same situation, the rabbanan were metakein? Because a cheresh, if we don't make a takone, he'll never be able to settle down and have a life. So therefore, since he's lo atzi l'chalal nisuin midirais, he's not going to be able to get marriage. We need to be metakein some level of marriage so that he can have a life and engage, mashma from Rashi, even engage in reproduction is what's important. But a katan da ati l'chalal nisuin, a child, so fine, in a couple of years he'll get married. So the Rabbana did not have to be metakein marriage. But you could say the same thing about a ktana, couldn't you? I mean, are ktana, you could say, okay, so she will soon be married normally. Why do we need to make a takana for her? She is ati l'chalal nisuin. And nonetheless, the Rabbanan were metakein nisuin. So how come we did that? Hatam shol yinagoba minagafker. That is for a completely different reason. If nobody is going to be able to marry her, then there will be no one who will protect her, and therefore she will be open to predation. So now this is a very fascinating machlokas. What about if she doesn't have a mother either, and she doesn't have family that can take care of her? So the Trumas Hadeshen is Mechadesh, that even though all over it says that Nisui Ketana, Yedei Ima, or Yedei Krovotel, or Yedei Acher, never uses any other word, but it's obvious that she is able to accept Kedushin on her own, because otherwise she's going to be even in a worse matzah for predation. At least like this, she has a mother. A mother can try to protect her in some way. She has a brother who will try to protect her. And nonetheless, the Rabbanan were metakein that we want her to be able to have a male protector as the equivalent of a husband. So alachas kama v'kama, we're going to enable her to take a male protector, and we're not going to say she should just wander around the streets. And of course, we will create the whole concept of kedushe miyun for that relationship. And that is a big machlokas. Whether there was a takana on her own or not, L'maisa the Ramah brings both approaches, but what's fascinating is that he brings both approaches even where she was mekabelet kedushin when she did have a mother, which is not what the Trumas Hadeshen was talking about. He made a kal v'chomer only in cases where there was no mother, but because he himself raises the issue of how is it that without having a fully formed das, she would be able to choose the right person, right? So he says, Afal Pik, and he brings Uriah from the Shiltais. We're not worried about that. It's better to have someone than to have nothing, especially since she can always walk out. The issue, obviously, over here is only Legabi, the requirement of Miun. Because remember, as Tosfos said before, for a Katan, we also accept the fact that there is a, so to speak, marriage, in the sense that we can encourage them to shack up with somebody, because we don't need for them to be married. We just need for them to be protected. We allow a kata to choose somebody. He wants to take a girl and sleep with her and make that a permanent arrangement. That's fine. We just don't give it a sanction that will require any type of ending to it. So we don't have a miyun equivalent for a katan. But over here, the nafkamina will be that the miyun is a chiyav, and she can't marry somebody else, or she actually does miyun. Of course, the marriage to someone else, we had the shita before, that is miyun. But the bottom line is, the requirement for miyun creates these differences. So this is l'maisa ha'alocha, even today, in terms of halacha l'maisa. So over there, the takana was shelo yinagubo minag hefker. So wait a second. In order to protect her from minag hefker, we also provided miyun as a way for her to not be stuck with something that's inappropriate for her, right? Well, why didn't we do that for a chareshet? Isn't a chareshet basically a long-term ketana? So how come the chareshet is in a marriage where she can't walk out, cannot walk out, and the ketana can? So, Maishna Kitana de Mimaenet, Maishna Chareshet de Lo Mimana. Answers the Gemara, come on, man. If you're going to also be mitakein, that she can walk out at any time. So, who the heck would marry her in the first place, right? Yeah, I mean, you're trying to persuade someone to take a deaf mute in marriage. They don't want to make it also a miyun. Because people are unlikely to take her. Remember, this is a long-term relationship. So what you're telling me that any time in the next 70 years that I'm married to her, she can walk out on me, no matter what it is that I put into the marriage, forget about it. I ain't into it. Okay, so nobody's going to marry her. On the other hand, a katana, every husband figures, you know what, I'll pretend to be a nice guy till she grows up. Then it'll be too late for her to be mine. So I can keep her going for a year or two, and then she won't be mama enes to me. And that I'm willing to do.